In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is my understanding that there was some sadness 2 weeks ago when I did not preach to you. So I've chosen to preach for the next 4 hours. You laugh. I'm not going to preach at you for the next 4 hours. And so it begins, brothers and sisters. Our time of preparation has led us to this great retreat, where we enter into an experience of deepening our relationship with the living God for the sole purpose of rejoicing in and living out of the new life that he has bestowed upon us. In the time of Septuagesima that was given to us, it became very clear to me as I contemplated what it is that I would do during the Lenten season, that as much as I think about my own death, and of course those of you who know me, how oftentimes I talk about my own death, welcoming the time of my passing from this life to the next. For some reason, I never really seem to give too much thought as to what comes next. Maybe there is the assumption on my part, foolishly, that because of the life that I have lived as one of God's priests, I will automatically find my place in heaven. But we know that that is not the case. Quite the opposite is true. Maybe I have resigned myself to the realities of purgatory. That really is all that I can get, and so I'm going to be happy with just that. Or maybe I'm aware of the egregious nature of my sins and how much they offend God, and therefore at times worthy am I of condemnation. And therefore, while the reality of hell is there, the contemplation of it and my place in it is altogether too much for me to take. But the simple fact is this: I do not exist for this world. We do not exist for this world. As much as we might find ourselves in it, we are built for, we are created for relationship with God, both in this life, that we might enjoy that relationship with him in the life to come forever. That requires from us, brothers and sisters, a contemplation of the glories of new life to which we have been called, to rejoice in those glories and then to live in this life in such a way that in the fullness of time, when God calls us unto himself, we might be able to share in those glories. Everything about who we are and what it is that we do is oriented toward living in such a way that the dignity we received in baptism may often and always come to fruition by the manner in which we live our lives. That when this earthly pilgrimage has come to an end, we can take our place in the glories of heaven. When I think about it in those terms, and truly there are the only terms in which they can be thought of, I'm caught short, because I realize how so much of my life is given over to living in such a way that I am the controlling master of my own destiny. I'm so concerned about all the things that happen here on earth and maybe my place in them that I don't spend the appropriate amount of time thinking about the realities of heaven and everlasting life. And if indeed I did so, if I spent time thinking about that, it would situate the things of this earth, of this world, in their proper perspective. They wouldn't seem so arduous or difficult. Or, conversely, they wouldn't seem so tempting, so beguiling, that I want to go after all the things that the world sets before me, as if somehow holding fast to them and amassing them, I will somehow not only find a place in God's kingdom, but more importantly, solidify a place for myself here on earth. Oftentimes, that solidity that we search for is rooted in ease and comfort, a lack of difficulty in our lives, not being discomforted, not being put out, but rather making life as easy and as simple for us as we possibly can. But in truth, that is our lesser selves. There is not only value, there is virtue, there is necessity in sacrifice, in carrying the cross, in dying to oneself, in mortification, which is what we are about in our Lenten season. These days are not just merely figuring out what it is that I can give up and then how faithful I can be to giving it up, only to set it aside when the Lenten season has come to an end and somehow return to the life that I led before, as if somehow all of these weeks of preparation, of sacrifice and mortification have meant nothing. We are meant to be transformed at the end of this process. We are meant to be transformed in such a way that we have grown closer to the Lord, to better cooperate with the graces that he bestows upon us, and then better able to live in this world as we cooperate with that very grace to take our place according to his providence in his kingdom. And so, we must guard ourselves against temptation. But again, because oftentimes we are beguiled by the world, we think this is something we can do by ourselves. To fight Satan without God is a knife in a gunfight. You will lose again and again and again. And what you lose, brothers and sisters, is not just what happens to you in body. More importantly, what happens to you in spirit, where the temptations that Satan sets before us, and if we fall into those temptations, the sins for which we are guilty pull us further and further away from the very one who gives meaning to our existence. To go up against Satan and not have God on our side is a battle that will end in death. But not the death that leads to new life that Christ accomplishes on the cross. A death that leads to absence and darkness and separation. These are difficult things to contemplate, difficult things to hear, and yet they need to be said and heard nonetheless, lest we foolishly go throughout the world thinking that the temptations that are set before us, we can simply brush them off. The Lord can, because he is who he is. But what the Lord also reveals is that he relies upon his Father. He relies upon the angels, those 40 days and 40 nights from which he emerged hungry, that made him seemingly pliable to the temptations of Satan, were meant to strengthen his relationship with his heavenly Father. And if the second person of the Blessed Trinity needed and understood of the intimacy of relationship with the Father, how much more so for each of us? We must rely upon God. But that reliance can't be fleeting or intermittently. It can't be only at the precise moment when we are confronted with temptation, because oftentimes then it is too late. And as we listen to this gospel, which we hear every single Sunday in the first Sunday of the Lenten season, we see how Satan intensifies the temptations that he sets before us. Of course, he is the author of lies. He promises things that he cannot deliver. If you worship me, if you do this, if you do that, I will give you this, I will give you everything. And who doesn't want to be king for a day? Who doesn't want to have everything set before him? Who wouldn't offer up just a little to get a lot? It is tempting, hence the nature and the reality of it. It is beguiling. It is titillating. There is a part of it that comes to us and rests in our souls and confuses us so much that we find ourselves easily led away from God. And long before we realize that actually has happened, we are separated from him. The beautiful thing about God is that he's always waiting there for us. And if we cannot find our way back, he will come and find us and lead us unto himself. But why take that chance? Why put yourself through that when you know what it is that you ought to do? And just as importantly, you know how it is you ought to go about doing it. The disciplines that you've undertaken, the sacrifices that you have begun already. And maybe even in these first few days, you have failed miserably. Great intentions on Wednesday, Thursday came and went, and it was as if Wednesday had never happened. The ashes washed away in your morning shower simply meant that the Lenten season kind of begun, but not really. Or maybe you teased yourself and said, I'll give myself to the first Sunday of Lent to really get myself together. Well, now today is the acceptable time. This is the acceptable hour. And are you ready to do what needs to be done in order to strengthen your relationship with the Lord? This is not a rhetorical question. This is the question you are asking and then allowing God to answer. And you yourself are cooperating in that answer by the manner in which you live your lives. And yes, Lord, I understand what it is that is happening now, what it is that is required of me. I am well prepared and well disposed by the power of your grace and a desire to love you more deeply, to do the things that you ask me to do. We undertake them so that when we are confronted with temptation, we're not so easily beguiled by the lies that Satan tells us. We're not so easily caught up with the reality that we think we can have everything, but in the process we lose the thing that is most important. We have to think about heaven and think about what will happen to us at the end of time, because it radically impacts the time in which we find ourselves precisely at this moment. It is not looking to the future to be ignorant of what is in the present. It is to understand the living God who brings past, present, and future into one. And this august sacrifice sets before us not the temptations of the world, but the beauty of new life. God only and always speaks truth to us, tells us who we are, whose we are, and what it is that we must do to live rightly with him in this life to share the glories of the next. What the Lord presents and sets before us is not that which will destroy us, but rather that which will complete us and draw us unto him. And so, think about heaven. Desire to go to heaven. That is, after all, God's desire for you, that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That is what God wants for you. This is why God has done all of this and continues to give himself to you. What is asked of us, really, given all that God has done for us, what is asked of us really is simple. Cooperate with God. Do what you're commanded to do. Get out of your own way. Put aside your sinfulness. Embrace with vigor and arduousness the disciplines that you're undertaking. And understand that you lose nothing and gain everything. The angels that attended to the Lord, the graces that were abundantly placed upon him, he also makes available to us. Your guardian angel, assisting you throughout your spiritual journey. Call upon him. Ask him to be with you. Seek his intercession and his strength. And in this way, brothers and sisters, you will be able to cooperate with God. Listen to his word. More importantly, experience that living word that some of you are about to receive. And in the fullness of time, having lived well in this life, enjoy the glories of everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.